Jeanne Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series. Empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle, and today is April 9th, 2019. And welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast Series. I'm joined by Kevin Combs, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, Mike.
And Nicole Thomas, Vice President of Information Services, all the way from Atlanta. Hello, Nicole.
Hey, Michael.
I thought today, guess what? Let's do a WASDE recap, shall we?
We shall.
It's awesome. Not Friday. Well, maybe for some of you out there, maybe you're listening to this and say, I always listen to you guys on Friday. So it's my Friday now.
Take a couple days off and call it Friday.
Yeah. Celebrate Kentucky's win.
At what?
Sorry.
You know, so much Nicole for going for blue.
Nicole killed me because she said root for the team.
I did.
And Kentucky ended up wearing white. And Auburn wore blue.
Oh, look at that. See? Yeah. Go with the color.
Always an excuse with you, Kevin. Anyway, I'm sure, I don't know if you guys saw the game last night. It was a cool game. Texas Tech, you know, it's it would have been cool if they won. But Virginia, you know, hey, it's all good.
It's all good. Well, a team won for the first time. So we had that
that's
going
good.
For
yeah.
it.
And yeah, a shout good. Out to my wife's cousin, Katie, who went to Virginia. She's celebrating, I'm sure, still.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get to the WASDE recap. Let's get to it. And we're going to start with sugar and move on to corn and soybeans. So, Kevin, the floor is yours.
I am so excited to talk to the two huge changes they made to the WASDE report for sugar. Basically, they lowered production. 43,000 tons in total, 35,000 tons in Florida, 7,000 tons of beet sugar. There really was not much to talk about from the WASDE report, which is pretty typical for an April report. You know, really next month, we'll start doing some trend line forecasting for the next crop. So not much typically happens here.
Wow, that was quick, Kevin.
Yeah.
So I guess let's talk about the future. What do you expect them to do the balance of the year in these reports? Anything topical?
Well, really, there's only a few things that we can take a look at for the rest of the balance of this crop year. One, we can always talk about imports. You could have some adjustments here or there, but really, they're pretty much probably in line. They're showing strong TRQ imports already. Mexico's got plenty of sugar, so they're going to ship in all their imports. I think the only thing you're really going to see happen as far as the sugar program in general will be a reallocation because they're showing a tighter stocks to use ratio this year. At now 13.2% after the lower production, they will want to get on top of things and reallocate any shortfalls to the TRQ, make sure all that sugar is available and coming into the market. So you'll see that change. And then, you know, our other favorite category to talk about, deliveries. The USDA is still showing a little bit of growth, just, you know, 0.6%, so pretty small, but you could still make an argument that demand is not growing. I think you could end up seeing that number come in flat at the end of the day. It's really hard to figure out. There's so many variables coming into play in that category. But it's going to be very, very minor changes to 2018-19. And then the other last thing that could hit was, you know, the USDA uses a pretty good number for early harvest on beets. And giving all the talk of floods and whatnot along the Mississippi, Missouri rivers. And if you get late plantings in the Red River Valley in particular, maybe you take some edge off of that number. And a beet number here, we're currently forecasting just under 5 million tons. You might lose 30, 50,000 tons or something on early harvest.
No great shakes, as they say.
No great shakes.
And, you know, you're going to be talking, obviously, a lot more about consumer trends and sugar and demand and all that at our spring seminar on April 24th in Oak Brook. So those attending will be able to hear further thoughts, what you have there. Okay. Anything else or shall we move on?
Let's move on to Nicole.
All right, Nicole, the floor is yours. Let's talk about corn and soybeans.
Yeah, well, corn was a little more interesting than sugar. Soy was too, but starting with corn, you know, today's report raised U.S. ending stocks by 200 million bushels. That puts us at 2.035 billion. Each of the major demand categories were lowered with the largest reductions via the feed and residual category and the export category. And we sort of knew this was coming, as foreshadowed by last month's stocks report and the 9% decline in first quarter disappearance versus 2017-18. So we saw that. And then ethanol usage was reduced by 50 million bushels. Production in March of ethanol was down 4% from 2018. And at 24 million barrels at the end of March, stocks are higher than 2018 by about 7%. So again, somewhat expected. And as far as the global picture is concerned, we've taken some of the weather premium out of the market and production, with Argentina and Brazil projected at 47 and 96 million metric tons of production, respectively. And if this comes to be, that would indicate a 25% increase in production over last year for those two countries combined. So all in all, it was a relatively bearish report, and the futures market closed at about even.
Okay. All right. What else you got?
So for soybeans, U.S. ending stocks were down slightly to 895 million bushels. It was a little different than the market's expectations. Analysts were expecting a slight increase to ending stocks. But considering in the grand scheme of things, 5 or 10 million bushels is still a relative drop in the bucket. So plus the change came from throwaway categories, as I would call them, slightly lower imports because we really need to import more soybeans.
Yep.
And slightly higher seed use, which might be indicative of something here very shortly. But the world really seems to be relatively flushed with soybeans. Although today's report didn't change much versus last month, we're still looking at more than an 8 million metric ton increase the global ending stocks. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't even consider that the crush number for China is likely to come down,
right,
due to the virus hitting Asian hog producers. I've seen it referenced as Asian swine flu,
okay,
African swine flu. No continent wants to take credit for it,
no,
but it's there.
Give it to Iceland.
We'll give it to Iceland. Iceland swine fever. Now, what that could mean longer term is stronger crush for us in the U.S. and stronger hog production in the United States, especially if this trade deal between the two countries is completed soon, could lead to some support for additional pork exports. And because it has spread to other countries in Southeast Asia, Russia, parts of Europe, it could also provide some demand for U.S. pork exports elsewhere. So we should also keep a watchful eye for this problem in the U.S., though. For those who have been around long enough to remember the PEDV crisis a few years back, you can remember the impact that had on meal consumption, pork production, and ultimately pork prices. But for now, that big natural barrier we call the Pacific Ocean has prevented us from having those issues domestically. But as it relates to pricing, I would say today's report was pretty neutral.
Okay.
And the futures market reflected that accordingly. So let me talk a little bit about soybean oil. That's probably where the more noteworthy changes,
okay,
were made in today's report. We posted a 150 million pound reduction to U.S. ending stocks, and that is all attributed to one word, biodiesel. And that category of demand was revised higher yet again to 8.35 billion pounds of soybean oil use. For perspective, that's a 17% increase over 2017-18. And biodiesel demand has been revving up for over a year now. In 2018, we used a total of a little more than 7.5 billion pounds of soybean oil for biodiesel production. That was up 21% from 2017. And just in the month of January this year, soy oil usage for biodiesel is up 35% from the year prior. So bucking the trend of corn and soybeans, the report was a bit bullish to soybean oil. And we saw that in the futures market with the nearby contract closing up about 16 points above 29 cents a pound.
Awesome recap. Okay. I think we did it.
Yeah.
I think we did.
We did. And
short and sweet.
Short and sweet. And so everybody can get back to what they were doing. But before we let you go, our spring seminar, April 24th in Oak Brook, Illinois, seats are limited, just a couple weeks away. Very excited. We're launching our IQ platform. And if you're interested, either email us, give us a call, or simply register online. Consumer trends and how it affects all these different ingredients. Pretty cool. Anything else from you, Kevin?
Ready to sign off?
Sign off. Nicole, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And until next time, live with an attitude of gratitude, everybody. Enjoy your time with your friends and family. Take care.
That concludes this podcast episode. For more information, visit us on the web at bikini-favel.com. Also follow us on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter for the latest industry news, updates, and intelligence.